Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now studying Masechet Sotah. We are in Daf Chaf Hey Amud Aleph at the very top of the Amud, continuing to analyze the Mishnayot that were presented to us at the beginning of the chapter. And now a tangential question, which will sort of a backdoor sugya in which we're going to ask a question and attempt to answer it using several of the Mishnayot that we already studied. Ibayalu, the question is, Overat al-Dat, a woman who violates norms of proper behavior for a Jewish woman, modesty, etc., which was dealt with in the 7th chapter of Masechet Ketubot, Tzricha tra'al af sidak tubata o'ena tzricha. Does she need to be warned first before she loses her ketubah? Because an Overat al-Dat may or perhaps must be divorced, we'll discuss that in a minute, and loses her ketubah, does she need to be warned first about the consequences of her actions? And here are the two sides. Me, Amrinan Kevan de Overat al-Dati lo bayatra'a. Do we classify her as an Overat al-Dat? And that class doesn't need hatra'a. Odilma tiboy hatra'a, perhaps she does need dihadra batihadra. Maybe she will change her behavior once she knows what the consequences are. In other words, do we look at Overat al-Dat as sort of inherent behavior of this kind of woman, and therefore she, just like if a woman is adulteress, she doesn't need warning in advance to know what the consequences are. Same thing here. Or do we say, no, this is just bad behavior. If she knows the consequences, she'll change her change. Toshma. So we'll try to prove it from the first Mishnah. Arusa v'shomeret yavam lo shotot v'lo not lo ktubah. The first Mishnah, the opening of our parak, says that an arusa and shomeret yavam do not drink. They don't get the ktubah, but mishnah hu'da lo shatya. The inference that we already made was they don't drink hakinui makrila, but you do administer kinui. All right. Otherwise, the Mishnah would say very simple: an arusa cannot get kinui. So lamai, what's the purpose of giving the kinui? Lav lahav sidak tubata. Is it not for purposes of having to lose the ktubah, which proves that you need to have a warning? Because otherwise, why don't we just say the minute that an arusa, that there's witnesses that she's hanging around with men in seclusion, she loses the ktubah? The answer is you need warning first. So I'm Abaya lo osra alav. Abaya says no. We have a different reason why there may be a need for kinui, and that is to prohibit her to the husband, to the arus, because once there is kinui and then stira, she's usur to him. She can't drink because it happened as an arusa, and therefore she's divorced without benefit of a ktubah. Alright, there is yet another answer. Papa Marla Hashkotak, she nesua, says there's another purpose for administering kinui while she is an arusa or shomeret yavam, and that is if subsequent to getting married or having yibum she has stira with that same guy, then the husband could take her for the drinking. Kedetanya, ein maklin larusa lashkotak she arusa. The bright explicitly says you cannot administer kinui in order while she's in arusa to have her drink while she's in arusa. But you may administer kinui while she's in arusa, and then if after marriage she has stira, you could then take her to drink. All right, so there is another purpose. Okay, so we haven't settled from the first line in our Mishnah whether or not an overat al dat requires hatra'at. Let's see. Amarava Toshma. Later on in that same Mishnah, Amalekon got a gush of a chutz that can hand your mamzer until now. Yisrael bat Yisrael and mamzer natin lo shetor lo nok tubah. Those are the four classes of prohibited relationships where the kiddushin still would be toface, and we say that they do not participate in the sota ceremony. Now mishtu lo shata kuni maknila. So clear from the Mishnah that you can administer kinui in such a relationship, because otherwise we would just block it off at that point. Ulamai, what's the purpose of kinui? Ilo stran alav, if it's for what Abai answered earlier, which is to prohibit the husband to the wife, hasir nukaim, he's already prohibited. There's no new prohibition being added in, and there's no more severe prohibition being added in by making her a sota. Ella, lav lahafsidang tubata, must be for purposes of having them lose the ktubah. And you see there that a woman cannot be deprived of her ktubah for actions less than out and out adultery unless there's warning first. So we're going to diskuta lo osrala boel kebaal. Here there's another purpose, is if a kohen is married to a grusha, it's a forbidden relationship, he administers a kinui, and then later she is found to be in seclusion with the putative paramour, the accused paramour, then she is going to be banned from that paramour forever. So even let's say he's a non-Kohen, and this Kohen divorces her, she may not marry him because, as the Mishnah says, that non, kashem shasura labal, kach asura laboel. That'll be in the next parak, that just as a sota is prohibited forever unless the water clears her to her husband, so she's asura also to the accused third party. Now, so we haven't yet solved from that part of the Mishnah whether or not an overt al dat requires warning. We had at the end of our parak, Mishnah Hey, that there are a few people who, because of their own inability, cannot issue a kinu to their wives. Beit Din steps in and does it on their behalf. Mishnah Charesh Ba'alav, the husband became a deaf mute. Onishtater, he became an imbecile. If he was in prison, and the Mishnah states, "V'lo lashkota amru," not for purposes of being mashker her, of giving her the water, ella poslamik tubata. The only purpose is to deprive her of her tubah. So the Mishnah explicitly says the purpose for which the Beit Din administers the kinui is to deprive her of the ketubah. So clearly, shmamina bayatra shmamina, you see that you cannot deprive a woman of her ketubah for anything less than out and out, clearly attested to adultery without a warning. All right. So now, so how come Rava and the first presentation of the Gemara did not utilize that proof? Perhaps that case would clearly need hatra'ah because she has no fear of her husband. Her husband's in prison, her husband's incapacitated, so she has no fear of her husband. So there we really may need to step in. But maybe in a normal case when a woman's living with her competent, capable, present husband, we would assume that she would have enough fear of her husband that she would understand that her behaving brazenly and immodestly carries consequences and wouldn't need an explicit warning. Therefore, we have to learn that she does need a warning in that case also. Ibayalu. So now that we're talking about Overt al dat, we're going to turn the question around. Overt al dat v'ratza ba'al l'kayma. And this is going to bring us back to Sota. If a woman is Overt al dat, she walks out without her hair covered, she talks to all the men in the shuk, she is a kolani, whatever the Mishnah in Ketubot, violations of norms of modesty. V'ratza ba'al l'kayma. Let's say the husband wants to keep her, stay married to her. In other words, he ignores her behavior. Mekaima or ena mekaima, may he or not? Mi amini b'kpeda de baal talam rachmanam. Perhaps the entire thing is about the baal sensitivity, follow kapid, and he doesn't care. Odima kevin de kapid. What that means is perhaps there is an objective kpeda, an objective sensitivity that the Torah mandates, and that's it. So Toshma, ve'elosh Beit Din maknen l'mahem. We go back to the fifth Mishnah, which is these are the women for whom the Beit Din will issue on behalf of their incapacitated or absentee husbands, imprisoned husbands, that they will administer the kinui mishtacharish palaj tatzel shayachavush veitasurin, right? And now, aviyamar ratza baal mekayma mekayma, if you think that a husband can keep an overt al dat around, avdi beitin midid de dilma lo nechle le baal, how can beitin do something that the baal may not want? How can beitin act on the baal's behalf if we don't know that he wants it? The baal could say, I don't care if she hangs around with men and is in seclusion. So the answer is stam de milta kim overt al dat hi menach nechle, because the normal case is that since she's behaving so immodestly, that has come to the Beit Din's attention, the husband would probably want it. In other words, we're acting on his assumed behalf, but not his assured behalf. So then a related question, going back to Sota. Let's say a husband became jealous and issued a kinui, and later he realized he'd gone overboard, or he realized his suspicions were unfounded, or for whatever reason, he said, you know what, forget it. And then later there's stira. So what do? We say that the Torah placed everything on his actions, and now he forgoed and forgave his actions, meaning that just like a person is owed money, the person's owed money, they have the right to forgive it. Same thing here. Perhaps since he issued a formal kinui, he can't go back. Maybe that's a one-way train. So Toshma Ve'edus Beit Din Mekanin Lehman. Go back again to the fifth mission. Amish Chareish Ba'alav Shtadel Shaya Chavush Ve'etasurin. V'yamar Baal Shemachal Kinuyo Kino Machul. If you say that a husband can retract his kinui or forgive it, Avdin and Midi Da'ati Baal Machile. Will Beit Din do something which the husband will then turn around and say, Nah, I forgive it? Beit Din's going to issue a kinui, and then the husband gets out of prison and says, Nah, forget it. It would usurp the integrity of the Beit Din. So the answer is Stama de Milta Adam Maskim al Dat Beit Din. In a normal case, once Beit Din's done something for somebody, he'll agree, which means maybe we've so left open the possibility that he could forgive it. But since chances are pretty good he's not going to forgive it, we can issue the kinui. Toshma. So let's go back to the first parak. In the third mishnah, in the first parak, we learned that the beginning of the process is he comes to the local Beit Din and says what he says, that I issued a kinui, and here's the witnesses to the kinui, perhaps, here I have witnesses, perhaps, Beshur Elazar, that she was Nistra with that same guy, in seclusion with that same guy. Beit Din then sends him to Yerushalayim with two escorts who are Talmidei Chachamim. Why? Shemei Avo Al HaBaderach. Because the concern is that he may have relations with her on the way. If you say that a husband can be mochel as kinui, then lichle lekunei v'livo. So what's the problem? Let him go on the way with her, and halfway there, he'll say, you know what, forget the whole process, and they'll stay in the same motel room. So that would seem to indicate that he cannot be mochelit, because they're there to absolutely and unqualifiedly prevent him from having beal with her. That's what we think. The answer is, wait a second, why do we need Talmidei Chachamim? We asked this in the first parak. The answer is Digmiri, because they know the law. In other words, that's why you need Talmidei Chachamim, exactly for that reason, because if the guy decides he wants to have beer with his wife, they say to him first, okay, you be mochel your kinui, and then you can sleep with her. So instead of the two Talmidei Chachamim and the husband staying in room 6 and the woman staying in room 5, the husband says, I'm going to stay with my wife in room 5, that's fine. The Talmidei Chachamim say, good, be mochel your kinui, stay with her, and tomorrow we'll go back home. All right, so that would certainly not support the idea that you can't be mochel, because we've given a proper explanation that would allow for mechila. So let's see. Toshma, da'amar Rabbi Yoshia, shloshan dvarim sachli ze'ira me'anshe Yerushalayim. All of these things we did were inferences. An inference can be batted around. Here we have an explicit ruling. Ze'ira told Rabbi Yoshia, three things I heard from the Anshe Yerushalayim. So this is an old tradition. Baal shemachal kinuyo, kinuyo machul. And that's kind of the end of the story. If a husband forgives the kinui, it's forgiven and it's erased. Zaken mamrei shatzu beit din l'mcholo. Let's say you have a zaken mamrei, rebellious elders, a member of the beit din, who is publicly issuing rulings against the way the beit din has ruled. He has to die. If beit din wants to be mochalim, mochlin lo, they can forgive it. Uven sora more, the wayward son, talked about in Dvarim Chafalov, shatzu avivimo l'mcholo, and his parents want to forgive him and say, you know what? It was our fault, you know what, we'll fix it, whatever it is, we're not going to bring it to Beit Din. Mochlima, they're allowed to forgive it, even after they're in Beit Din. And Ze'ira says, when I brought this news to my friends in the south, they agreed about husband being mochel as kinui, and about parents being mochel ben sor more, but not about the Beit Din being mochel zok and mamre, because allowing that will allow for greater divisiveness and division in rulings be Israel, therefore we have to put a clamp on that. But, Shmamina, Baal Shmachal Kineo Kineo Machul, Shmamina. So you could see from there, final ruling that if a husband wants to forgive his kinui, he may do so. Now, question is, what are the parameters of that? Until what point may he do so? Pligi Barav Achav Ravina. Chadamar Kodam Stira Machul. One of Ravina or Ravacha said, it will only work if he forgives it before she has stira. Achar stira no machul. But once she's already been in seclusion with the guy, then it's an irrevocable track. Chadamar lachas stira no machul. You could even forgive it afterwards. It makes sense, it's more reasonable, based on the following discussion we had in the first parak, that he cannot forgive it after stira. Mimai. From the Rabbanan's response to Rabbi Yossi in the machloket about whether or not the husband can go with his wife alone to Yerushalayim. If you recall, the Mishnah said that they have to give him two Talmid Chacham as an escort, and Rabbi Yehuda, whose position is also adopted by Rabbi Yossi, says, no, the husband's trusted to be alone with his wife. And in the development there, Rabbi Yossi said, Kal Vachomer, which is that if a husband is trusted to be alone with his wife when she's a nida, when it's karet, certainly he'd be trusted to be alone with his wife when she is a sota, where there's just a lav. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bala Neman Aleha, Mikal Vachomer, Ma Nida Shebacharet, Bala Neman Aleha, Sota Shebalav Lo Kol Shekein, and Amrulo, how did they break the Kal Vachomer? Lo, Imamarta Ben Nida Shekein Yesh Laheter. After all, a nida, a week later, 10 days later, is going to be mutter to him, so therefore he's trusted that he can restrain himself. Tomer Besota Shein Laheter, but sota could never become mutar. It's possible that if something happens, he doesn't drink, or she drinks and doesn't work out, that's going to be the end of the road. So therefore, we can't trust him because he may get panicky and say, I'll never be able to be with my wife again, and therefore we can't trust him. That's how they break the Kal Vachomer. But if you think that even after stira he can forgive it, then Rabbi Yossi has a comeback and say, of course, the sota has a heter. The husband can be mochel. So that supports the position that once stira has happened, the husband cannot forgive his kinui. Now, of course, there's a way to defend the other position, which is to say that the breaking of the Kal Vachomer would still stand. After all, a nida, the heter of a nida, is something which is sort of organic to the system. Is that just by the way of things and the way things work, after Shiva Nakim, she goes to the mikveh and then she's Tahara, and that's the cycle that's supposed to work. Whereas here, he would have to intervene in the cycle and take a move which is away from the sequence that's going on, which is to say, I'm now mochel the kinui, in order to restore things back to heter. So you could argue that the Kal Vachomer would still be broken. Okay. Meitu balena an shelo shatu. Now, the Mishnah said that if the husband dies before the woman drinks, Beit Shammai says that she collects her ketubah, and Beit Hillel says she doesn't. Either way, she can't drink. What's this machloket rooted in? Any shtar that stands to be collected, we consider it already collected, which means she's considered the muchzak in the ketubah. Therefore, the heirs of the husband have to prove that she really was guilty of infidelity in order to wrest it back from her. Otherwise, she keeps it. And Behilal say, no, until it's collected, it's not collected, which means they're the muhzak. She has to prove she was faithful to the husband, which she also can't prove because she can't drink. She has to prove that in order to be able to collect the ketubah. Okay, Muberat Chavero. The next Mishnah talked about, or later on that Mishnah talked about, a woman who is pregnant from her previous husband, or is nursing a child from previous husband, and then marries. Remeir was of the opinion that she does not drink, and Chacham said he can separate from her and then come back. We'll see what this is about. Amram Nachman Aram Rabba Bavua Machloket Ba'akara Uzkena. This goes to the second part of the Mishnah, which is the Machloket Rabba Lazan Chachamim, about if a man marries an old woman or a woman who can't give birth, a woman is for some reason infertile. Rabbi Elazar says she doesn't drink, and Chachamim says she doesn't drink. Rabbi Elazar says he could marry another woman with whom he could have kids. Aval Ailuni Divrei Kol Lo Shatav Lo Nitel Ketubah. Rav Nachman says that everybody will agree that an Ailunit cannot get a ketubah. Doesn't drink, doesn't get a ketubah, she's not in the parsha. Shenemar, because the end of the parsha is, if she's pure, v'nikta v'nizra azera, that she becomes cleansed and has kids. Mishadar Kal Azriya, which means at the very minimum, the parsha can only relate to a woman who at some point in her life can have children. But here's a woman who, not just circumstantially, like a woman is not blessed with kids, but physiologically is not capable of having kids. Therefore, she's not in the parsha. Now, Meitive, watch this challenge. This is a parallel to our entire parak. If a man gives kinui to his arusa or shemeret yavam, imad shalokin san nistira lo shatavlon tel ketubah. If she had her stira before they got married, then she doesn't drink, no ketubah, she's gone. Muberet chavero menaket chavero, again, if he marries a woman who's pregnant with or nursing a child from a previous marriage, lo shotot v'lo notot ketubah. Same thing. Divrei Rav Meir. Sherav Meir Meir, why is this? This is the background to our Mishnah. Lo yisa adam uber chavero meneket chavero. A man is not allowed to marry a woman who is pregnant, carrying the child from a previous husband, or nursing a child from a previous husband. And Rav Meir's position is, you have to divorce her and you can never marry her. You violated the rule. And therefore you can never marry her. Therefore Rav Meir says, of course, you cannot give her to drink in that case. Chachamim omrim, what did Chachamim say in our Mishnah? That you could separate and return. That's what they say here. Yotzi. Forget about the sota problem. Chachamim say if a man marries a woman who's pregnant with a child from a previous husband, yotzi yochshi agiasmano lichnos hichnos, he can divorce her and then remarry her after she's had the child and has weaned him. All right. So that means Chachamim's position, and that just is the background to the Mishnah. Chachamim's position is that this is not an inherently prohibited marriage. It's just a temporarily wrong marriage. And therefore, you could have the sota situation play out. Now, v'harove, which is a young man, shenasa'a kara uzakina. Harove means a guy hasn't had kids yet, who marries an old woman or a woman who can't have kids. And he wasn't yet married and had kids. Lo shotav lo antal ktuba. She doesn't drink. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Yachol Ulisacher, the fault of the brought him on. What are you talking about? He could still afterwards marry a young woman and have kids with her. Aval. It's all parallel to the Mishnah. This is now the back half. If he does kinui to his arus or shemet yavam, and after marrying her she has stira, either she drinks or she doesn't get the ktubah. Here she has the option to drink. Let's say it's his wife who's pregnant with him, with his child, or who is nursing his child. That's a fine marriage, a proper marriage, and now you're regular, either drink or don't get the ktubah. A young man who marries an akarauskina, and he already has a wife and kids. That's fine, it's a fine marriage, and she has the option of drinking or losing her ktubah. Eshet mamzer la mamzer, ve'eshet natin la natin. So the wife of a mamzer married to a mamzer, which is legit. A wife of a natin to a natin, same thing. A wife of a ger, or an evan meshuchrar, a freed evid. Va'ailonit, that's what we're, the whole thing is there for this word. O shota, lo nital ktuba. She either drinks or doesn't get a ktuba, which means ailonit is in the parsha. Now, ketani mi'ailonit, that whole brayta was brought for the end, which is ailonit's there. Tiyufta Rav Nachman, so you see Rav Nachman's been refuted, because you see there clearly is an opinion that says an ailonit will drink. Rav Nachman says, you're right, it's a machloket tanaim. Meaning, in that brayta, the tana holds an ailonit can drink. V'ana damri ki'ai tana, but what I was saying was following another tana, the tana Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, ailonit lo shotav l'natan ktuba. Rav Shimon Elazar said what I said, which is an ailonit can never drink. Even if she's already married to the guy, Shinemar, Ktam Nizra Zera, Mishta Kala Hazriya, it's Tazushin, Dakala Hazriya, the same Drasha. So those who oppose Rav Shimon Elazar and say that an Ailanit can drink, just like anybody else, as long as the guy who was married to her also had another wife with kids, and had kids, then what do they do with that Pasuk Vinikta Vinizra Zera? It's a famous Drasha, Bailu Chartanya. Vinikta Vinizra Zera, Shmatakara Nifkedet, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's Drasha on that is Vinikta Vinizra Zera, which means that let's say this Sota was innocent and she had not yet had kids, now she'll have kids. Which is Rabbi Akiva, is that Drush is utilized as an explanation of one of Chana's kiviyachol veiled threat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take a look at the beginning of the fifth paragraph of Brachot. Amar Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel answered Rabbi Akiva and said, "Im ken yisatru kol ha'akarot v'ipaktu." So therefore, you know what will happen? Every woman who's barren will create suspicion for her husband about kinui. Then she'll go and hide for 3 minutes in seclusion in front of witnesses with the guy who's accused. She'll be totally innocent. Go and drink the water, and then she'll have kids. And that's a bad thing. We don't want to promote more sota. And so this woman who's religious and doesn't want to utilize things like that is going to lose and not have kids. So how does Rabbi Shmuel learn the pasuk? He does the same thing as Rabbi Akiva. It's about childbirth, but not about barrenness to childbirth, but rather, let it be revach. Now it'll be easier for her to have kids. Kivod yolad zcharim, if she had girls, she'll have boys. Tzarim yolad arukim, if she had short kids, she'll have taller kids. Shchim yolad levanim, if they'll have a fairer skin color. In other words, her kids will be finer kids, but not that she suddenly will have kids. Okay, so that is as far as the din of the Eilonit, we see that it's machloket whether Eilonit really would be included. Now, the next couple of lines continued to analyze the Mishnah, and it quoted the second half of the Mishnah was that Eshet Mamzer is also in the Parsha. So Pshita, obviously, why not? Ma'udetem afushi psulin lo leifush. Perhaps we don't want to increase psulin. Remember, a Mamzer may marry a Mamzeret, but the result of is that is going to be Mamzerim. Maybe we don't want to promote this marriage, and if there's a break in the marriage, maybe we want to keep it broken apart. Kamash Malan, that we do everything we can to bring them together. Eshet Ger Evin Shukhar Vailonit. So the next part of the Braita said that the wife of a Ger and an Eved Meshuchar drink. So Pshita, why not? So Ma'u Detema Dabrel B'nai Yisrael V'lo Gerim, because the Parsha of Sota is introduced, Dabrel B'nai Yisrael, and it's always a tension when we say B'nai Yisrael, does it include Gerim? So I would think that perhaps Gerim are not included. V'hemachinami, so V'yamarta Ribu Yehu, because then it says V'yamarta Lehem, because it just could just say Dabrel B'nai Yisrael Ish Ish. Dabrel B'nai Yisrael V'yamarta Lehem is to expand that, to say even speak to the ones who are not currently B'nai Yisrael. All right, Eshet Kohen Shota. This is back in our Mishnah. We saw that the wife of a Kohen drinks. So, Pshita, why not? Perhaps because the entire schema of the Sota is that if she was not raped, therefore she'd be Asura. Hayin Pasam Muteret. Therefore, the implication is that if she were raped, she'd be mutter to her husband. V'zuho ho'el v'nit pasah asura, and since an Eshet Kohen, even if she were raped, would be asura to her husband. Emalotishta, perhaps she's just not in the Parsha. Maybe the entire Parsha only works with a woman who, if lo nit pasah asura, ha nit pasah muteret, and this one, in any case, if she was raped or it was consensual, she'd be prohibited to her husband. So kamash malan, therefore the Mishnah teaches that an Eshet Kohen still can drink, and if she did not have relations with the other fellow at all, then she's clean, etc. Muter lebala. We said Eshet Kohen drinks and muter lebala. Shipshita. So Ravuna b'mitnavna. Ravuna says this is talking about a case of mitnavna, where she starts to fall apart. We saw this in the third parak. So mitnavna bat kuamaya. What do you mean? Any woman, don't touch an Eshet Kohen. If she's mitnavna, proves that she's guilty. She's just dying slowly because she had some sort of a schut and the husband's asur to her. The answer is mitnavna derech evarim. Her body isn't falling apart. She has parts of her body that are getting weak. We might think that she really is guilty. Maybe the reason that she's not falling apart in the normal fashion is because she was raped. Remember, she's an Eshet Kohen. So kamash malan, that she's just got some sort of disease. That has nothing to do with the water. Now, Eshet Saris Shota, the wife of a Saris, somebody who is castratum, or some other way unable to have proper relations, she does drink, Sapshita. Ma'ud Temam Baladei Shechem Arachmara. In the oath administered by the Kohen, he says that you who had relations away from your husband, V'haylav Barhachihu, and after all, this is not one who can have relations, therefore maybe she's not in the Parsha because it's only a woman who has a husband who's able to function properly. So kamash malan that she does. And then the last piece we're going to look at today is al yedei kol arayot makanin. Husband can administer the kinui even if the accused person is already an heir to her, like her husband, or like her father or brother, right? So we say pshita. It's clear you could, because after all, why couldn't you say, I'm accused you of doing this? I mean, the fact that what she's doing is even more nefarious and more disgusting doesn't mean they can't issue a kinui. So as we'll see in the next parak, it says nitma twice, as you see on the page. One of them, we learn, is labal, that she's not allowed to be with her husband, and the other is laboel, she's not allowed to be with the accused man. And therefore, hecha dekam mitzra b'haznut. So perhaps the only time that the Parsha of Sota could even get kicked in is when this affair would prohibit her to that man. Avalha hoel v'asur v'kaima, but she's already prohibited. This guy is her brother. This guy is her father. This guy is her nephew. Whatever it may be, emalo, so kamash malan. Therefore, the Mishnah teaches us that you can issue a kinui even regarding an erva. Now, the next piece that we'll look at is the end of that Mishnah, which is the exclusion, which is chutz minakatan, misha'inu ish. We'll we'll find out what Mishe'eno Ish is, and then we'll look in detail about the issue of the Beit Din acting on behalf of the husband when he is incapacitated or in prison. We'll look in brief detail, and with that, we'll complete the parak, but for that, we will wait till the next podcast. Everyone should have a wonderful day.